This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. September is Suicide Awareness Month, so I sat down with members from the Natrona County Suicide Prevention Task Force to talk about the problem of suicide, specifically in Wyoming, and what can be done about it.
I lost my son to suicide 16 years ago, and it took me probably about 6 months to truly want to live. I wasn't suicidal, but it was, if I die today, I'll be with my son. If I live today, I'll be with my wife and daughter. And after about 6 months of living with a lot of anger at myself for not seeing it, I finally decided I've got to do something about it. If I'm going to live, I'm going to help other people. And so that's how I got into it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm very glad that you decided that you were going to put your heart and soul into this organization. What kind of historical context can you guys give me?
The Natrona County Suicide Prevention Task Force started probably about 25 years ago or so. It was just by a bunch of people who were tired of losing somebody. Probably some of them had lost a loved one to suicide. And so it's just kind of grown as the number of suicides in the community have continued. People have said, I want to be involved. I need to be involved. And so we're getting out there. We're getting into schools more often. We're trying to get in and talk to more people. We really would like to push our education process and availability out to everybody. Everything we do is free. We do it through grants. We've got grants from the Wyoming Community Foundation and the Natrona County Health Trust. And we're just out there, everything we can do to help avoid a suicide and prevent one, we're there. Two of the big things that we really look for is hopelessness and feeling like a burden. Okay, so you need a reason to get up and out of bed and get going in the day. When you have no hope, when you can't see a solution to your problems are overwhelming you, thoughts of suicide might kind of enter your head. The other one, the burden, is, you know, I made such a mess of my life, my family, my friends, everybody else would be better off without me. And sometimes they take it to the extreme and say, basically, I am the problem, and my family will be better off without me. So suicide often comes out of that. And really, the problem begins after the suicide. And there was a minor problem before what becomes a major problem.
How busy are you, and how do you address everyone that needs help?
I think that's part of the big problem is people don't want to talk about it. They don't want to admit. As I look back, my son was giving a lot of the indications that he might be suicidal, but it was never going to happen in my family. I wasn't really educated in it. I never worried about it because it wasn't going to be in my family. And so looking back, he was crying out for help, and I missed it. And I don't want anybody else to miss that. That's why we feel education is such a big part of this. We also will go, we'll talk just to groups. I got a call yesterday from the senior center. They just want a 30-minute talk. What's suicide? What's going on? What are some of the basics? So we'll do anything we can to get out there and help. We've got support groups for lost people who are lost survivors. I'm a lost survivor because I lost a child. So there's four other lost groups in town that are there. People who are leading the groups have experienced suicide themselves. They've experienced a loss. So as new people experience suicide and need some help working through their feelings, their thoughts, just getting on with the day, we are there within the community trying to help. There's also a group called SOSA, Survivors of Suicide Attempts, in which we've got trainers who actually have attempted themselves and survived and are healthy now, and they lead some groups working with people who have attempted also and still just need some help getting through it. So we work on prevention, we work on postvention. We'd love to just be busy as can be, because even though we think we're getting the word out and making a difference in the community, we still have way too many suicides. And so we're not reaching everybody, and we'd love to do what we can to do that.
How prevalent is it amongst our youth, high schoolers or even younger?
The Wyoming Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which is a survey they give to middle school and high school students. We're no longer giving it in Natrona County, but the indications, the trends were that 20% of students had thought about suicide within the last 12 months. So that's one in five kids that are thinking about it. And what it actually showed also, I was looking for the exact number, was I think one in nine of our teenage students in Wyoming has attempted suicide within the last 12 months. So the really good news, I guess, is that generally the youth are not as successful, if you want to use that word, in completing suicide. They have a whole lot of attempts, but they generally do not succeed. Like Britland said, the middle-aged male. And we try and get into the schools, and oftentimes after we're talking to a school group, kids will come up to and talk to us and say, you know, I was thinking about this, and thank you for talking about it, because it's something that's going around, and we need to hear about it, and we need to know what we can do about it. Generally, the counselors see an increase in students reporting concern for a friend after we've been into the school. And every time we go into the school, we now alert the counselors so that they're aware that we're touching on a touchy subject here. But every time they've got an increase in people with a concern for either themselves or a friend.
How do you guys stay motivated when it's overwhelming?
Yeah, it really is. And we'll get people coming up to us in restaurants, in grocery stores or whatever. Are you the people who came to our school and talked about suicide? And they yes. And they'll say, well, I'll never forget the stories you told and what you talked about. So it's those kind of things. But just saving one life. If 15 years of doing this saves one life, I'm happy.
What should people in crisis know about first steps and how they can reach out right away to get help?
You know, really one big thing I think people need to realize is that if you could just listen to somebody and truly listen to them without trying to judge, without trying to fix problems, whatever, let them get off their chest what's really bothering them. I think that lowers the risk of suicide immediately, but so many of us keep these things internally that it just kind of goes till it gets to be too big and too hard to handle. And it's a scary subject. The stigma around suicide is such that a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They're uncomfortable talking about it. And again, that's why we want to talk to groups. We want to talk to companies. We want to talk to people and let them know it is scary, but it's worth the effort to just try and help somebody rather than to take a chance of losing them to suicide.
Could you tell our listeners what some of those big red flags are, if they're monitoring friends, family, anybody in the community?
Drug and alcohol abuse is quite common in it. So if you see somebody abusing drugs and alcohol, it might be kind of a self-medication, but if you're already depressed and struggling with depression, alcohol is a depressant, and it takes you down even further. So it's harder to climb out of that. Britland mentioned earlier a previous suicide. Suicide is actually what people conceive as the solution to their problems. It's not the problem. The problem may be that I've been abused by my family. The problem may be that I've got pressure to perform and I can't perform at the level that I think that people are putting the pressure on. So the solution to that is often suicide. So the trauma, unresolved trauma in their life, really needs to be addressed. So in other words, if somebody attempts suicide and they don't address the problem that they were abused, or that they're an alcoholic, or whatever it is that is their trauma, it's still there. And so even though they may have gotten through a suicidal episode, it might come back because they never really worked through the problem in their life. So they need to do that. Overall, big changes. You know, if somebody never sleeps much and now they're sleeping all the time. If they sleep all the time and now they're not sleeping, you know, eating, whatever, changes. This is not the person I knew 3 months ago, 2 months ago. Something has changed. Be aware. That doesn't mean it's suicide, but it means it's something to be aware of. And it's okay to ask them directly, are you thinking about taking your life? A lot of people say, oh, I could never do that. But really, that's the best way to know. If you just ask them how they're doing or what's going on with them or how the finances are or what the kids are doing, whatever, you know, you can beat around the bush. But to truly know if somebody's thinking about suicide, you need to ask it direct. Are you thinking about suicide? Because if you are, I want to help you. You know, I want to get you the help that you need because I want you in my life. But many people thinking about suicide because of the stigma and other reasons will hide it as much as they can. And they'll divert from it. So ask the question and ask it direct. And then work together to get some help. Again, don't be judgmental. You know, somebody says, yeah, I am thinking about suicide. And you say, well, man, that's stupid. You know, you got a great car, you got this, you got that, you got a great education. But nobody likes being called stupid, you know. And so they've got a reason for it. We don't understand what's going on with them. We don't understand their reason necessarily until we hear it. So what we just need to do is truly listen. Listen with all your heart to what the person is saying and then say, okay, I want to try and get you some help with this problem. Acknowledge that that problem is real because it is to that person, even though it may not be to you. And then we've got four places within our community in Casper that will see you that business day if you are in need of crisis counseling, basically. And that's WBI, Wyoming Behavioral Institute, Central Wyoming Counseling Center, the Veterans Center, and Community Health. If you go in and say, I am kind of in crisis and I need to see somebody about therapy or counseling, whatever, may not want to tell you, just, I don't know how you, I'm thinking about suicide or I need to see a counselor real bad, they will see you that day. Now, they're probably booked and they're going to have to work you in, but it beats waiting 3 months to get into a counselor to start the process.
When it's unfortunately too late, what message would you have for people who feel guilty about not catching it in time?
Having been there, you do. I've never been mad at my son. I was mad at me for not seeing what was going on. So I didn't heal a lot until I realized that this was his decision. It wasn't my decision. He didn't do it against me, whatever. It was his decision, but I want everybody to know the signs, the symptoms, what they can do, so that somewhere down the line, today, tomorrow, next month, we can help somebody that comes into crisis.
Do you feel hopeful that things are getting better for Wyoming?
Unfortunately, this is a hard thing to follow. I mean, you know, if somebody has a suicide attempt and survives through it, with HIPAA and everything else, we don't know the person's name. We can't go to them direct. We can't follow up. So really, follow up and support is up to those people. And I wish we could follow up a little bit more, but it's just not possible. I think we're making a difference. I know we're making a difference when we've got kids and people coming up and talk to us saying, you know, I understand what you're talking about, and I'm concerned about my friend, and I'm going to go get them some help. So I know we're making a difference. I wish we could make a bigger difference.
Is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
You know, I think one of the big things, we'd really like to give a lot of thanks and support to the people who have helped to make this a free service for everybody. What we've got is volunteers that are doing all the work. And we've got people, individual donors, and we've got the Community Health Foundation and Wyoming Community Foundation that are helping to support this. There's cost that goes into it. There's a lot of work that goes into it. We've got a bunch of committed people that are there because they truly believe in it. And please, if you have any questions, calls, whatever, go to our website. Like Britlin said, a lot of resources. Call us. You know, we'd be glad to come into your business. We'd be glad to come into your bridge group or whatever it is and just talk about it and answer questions, because there are so many myths, so many questions that people, so it's so much that people don't understand. Not that we understand it all, but we've got a pretty good understanding for the most part of what's going on. And we just want people to be aware and try and help as much as they can.
After I chatted with the Suicide Prevention Task Force, I had the privilege of attending part of the Connect to Women conference in Casper. The keynote speaker was Governor Mark Gordon, and he talked about mental health.
My introduction to mental health really came when my first wife, who was a remarkable 6-foot-1-inch tall redhead that was vibrant, mother of 2 daughters, just an incredible woman, was out running one day, and a young man who was on his way to work a little bit late was distracted and hit her, and she passed. And there I was with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old daughter, and trying to explain, you know, what had just happened to us. And if any of you have gone through this, you know that the entire community comes. And sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming, but our community, especially in Wyoming, our community response is such that we care for one another. We care deeply for one another. But still, the tragedy and the trauma of that moment was so extraordinary. My oldest daughter, who I'm really glad to say is now working on her PhD and has our grandson, had not yet entered first grade. Actually, had not yet entered kindergarten. And both Sally, her mother, and I had really hoped for that wonderful day to take our daughter to kindergarten and introduce her to education and how important it was. So I could spend a lot of time on that, but what I want to tell you is that the literature, all the writing that you could read about young girls, about fathers that were in a situation like mine, all explained that men were incompetent, could not deal with those kinds of circumstances. And I was not going to let that happen. Which is why I, you know, reached out immediately to sort of get the help that was necessary, both for me and for my daughters. And it's also the reason I spent, and luckily I was a rancher, so I spent a tremendous amount of time in the classroom, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, coach girls in soccer, all that sort of stuff. So I do not feel awkward being in a room filled with women. And in fact, I will tell you, Ann McKinnon, many of you may know Ann McKinnon, former editor of the Casper Star, author, one of the foremost experts on Wyoming water, told me that her dad had gone through a very similar situation. And I agreed with her dad that oftentimes being together with a number of mothers talking about the issues at hand is a lot more rewarding than talking about football or anything else. And you know, Kathy, you and I had this great opportunity to do a stick horse race, and you know, that's what's so great about this place that we live. I grew up, Susan Thomas out there, Susan and I grew up not far from one another, and we grew up in a place where men and women worked together, where men and women had the same, you know, basically the same respect. Wyoming is noted for being the equality state, and I'll be the first to say we need to do more to make sure that we really talk about equality. But it's not going to come from government. It comes from respect. It comes from community. It comes from the process of dealing with it. So that's what's wonderful about Connect to Women, why it's great that you're here. I've often said, and I think this is going to go to what the state of what mental health in Wyoming is, you know, I've often said that one of the most important things to remember on this great journey that we're on is that it isn't so much that we arrive at the destination. It is really important that we enjoy the ride as we get there. And there's going to be challenges and there's going to be wild things that happen. But it is so important that we remember on that road, and I think this is so important for mental health, on that road, we need to understand that our destination is a place we want to go eventually. But every day we have to put one foot in front of the other to build that plane, Kate, that as we're taking off. So in Wyoming, with mental health at this point, it is an incredibly, incredibly important issue. You know the statistics, they're scary. We have either the first or the second highest suicide rate. Most of that happens in our high school kids and our veterans population. What are the things that we need to do to be able to meet that requirement? From a state standpoint, one of our biggest issues is what we call Title 25, involuntary commitments. And what do we do to be able to support people as they try to reintegrate into the communities? Now, there is never going to be enough resource to be able to meet all of this. So we often start with saying, let's just throw more money at the particular issue. The state should ante up and figure out ways to fund things at a greater level. And I don't disagree, but we have to understand that our resources are somewhat limited. And again, the destination is how do we make sure that we have wonderful health care, wonderful mental health care, really across the spectrum. So the legislature has passed a bill, HB 38, I believe. HB 38 is going to look at local mental health structures and what they can do to make sure that as people come out of Title 25 or are able to reintegrate in communities, that they have the appropriate structures there to help. So they're really focused on one particular area. And when you try to solve all problems at the same time, sometimes you don't do a very good job. So I'm very happy to say that the legislature is focused that. But we're leaving so many things behind, which is why we decided as an administration, and I feel so fortunate to have such and I'll go through some of those people in a moment, but such a remarkable group of people as a community that are trying to figure out how to address this situation on a statewide level. Which is why on the 11th of October, we're having a mental health summit right here in Casper. And we want to talk about the breadth and depth of issues from veteran suicide. Unless you think this is only PTSD, people that have experienced trauma in the most violent ways, let me tell you that we have first responders who are struggling with issues that they've seen in a traffic accident. We have folks, my son has a very good friend who was in the Air Force intelligence. And his job sitting in London in an office was to sit down and look at aerial photographs. But he knew that the choices he was making could quite possibly result in a child's life being taken. And he has wrestled with that. So these issues are not deep. They are close to the surface in so many people, and yet we don't have a society which says, let's talk about that, let's get that out, let's figure out the ways that we can make that process that we talk about work better. So we're trying at a statewide level to make sure that we can address those issues. On suicide, yesterday we had a conference in Cheyenne that really spoke directly to how do we address this horrifying statistic that we are either first or second highest in suicide rate. We wanted to make sure that we could get the tools necessary, not only for folks like Volunteers of America, which has recently merged with Northern Wyoming Mental Health. I've served on both of those boards. But also to school counselors, to parents, to peers, to begin to sort of out this issue of we've got to be tough, we've got to cowboy up. And in fact, there's a wonderful program in Pinedale where it's, you know, let's cowboy up and talk about it. Pull on your boots and talk about it. We need to understand that the people in Wyoming care about one another. We are friends. We are family. We want to make sure everyone has a chance. I was so excited, and there's some really good, tangible successes. One of those is the fact that we've stood up the 988 number. Now we have 24/7 ability to talk to somebody, not from Maryland or Texas or Washington or somewhere else in the country, but for somebody here in Wyoming. So when they say, I'm just completely, you know, and my daughter has suffered with depression, and to have someone who's, you know, you're saying, I'm here in Buffalo and I'm really worried about it, and they say, what about those Bighorn Mountains? You know, and you can kind of help. People understand the setting. They know the school you went to. They understand what the circumstances are. The ability to have somebody to talk to. The ability to be able to share, most importantly, on suicide. How do we get to a person at that moment of crisis that so many of us miss? So many of us miss, and it happens at one point. How do we make sure that we help people get there? That's what we're working on in the state. That's what this budget is going to be about. Help lift these organizations. Make sure that we have the resources for those local mental health organizations, but build on a strong, resilient framework. And so, Kate, your comment about building this plane as we take off couldn't be more appropriate than today. And I want to really give a shout out, because during the crisis of COVID, nobody knew what was coming. In fact, I remember the superintendent and I were talking, if you remember, it was the 13th of March. And the superintendent was going into a weekend. The superintendent and I were talking about, what do we do about schools? They just canceled the statewide high school basketball tournament here. Things were starting to cascade out of control. Nobody really knew what this coronavirus was going to be. We were miles away from really having any kind of consistent information. The president declared an emergency, not an easy thing to do, but he did it. We needed to respond. But I remember Director Budd, who's right over here, that you will hear from, one of the strongest women you'll ever meet, grew up on a ranch and knows what I'm talking about. Director Budd provided the campus for us to come together. You look at Robin Cooley, Robin Cooley just said, let's get to work.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.